that in the parsha of the Egel, 21 times the term Ha'am is used, and Bnei Yisrael only one. The very last thing was, after the parsha of the Egel is over, that's where number one is. Last thing we said, right at the end of this year. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, and God spoke to Moshe saying, Lech alei mizeh, go up from here, ato you, for ha'om asher ha'alei tom eretz Mitzrayim, and the people that you took out of the land of Egypt, el ha'oretz asher nishbati l'Avram, li'Yitzchak, li'Yakov, to the land that I swore to Avram, to Yitzchak, and Yaakov, lema, saying, l'zaracha etenenu, to your children I will give it. You understand what's happened in this one pasuk? In this one pasuk, everything that God had said to Moshe at the Chet of Egel, your people are the ones that made the Egel. It's all over now. Take that people. Lech alei mizeh, go up from here, you, and that people that you took out of the land of Egypt. All the complaints to the Erev, the Mechashim, everything, it's all over. Justice was done. You know what? Fatik, finished. The gate weiter. And the point that I made was, you can't ever remain frozen in time. History is dynamic. It's not static. Doesn't stay still. And it applies not only to those we talked about last week who are still living in Israel of the early 50s and will never ever forgive what might or might not have taken place then. It applies as well to the other side of the political map. I mean, those who still feel that Oslo was the greatest thing that ever happened. I mean, they're frozen. They're in the Antarctic. They don't get what's going on over here. Things have happened in the last 25 years. Incidentally, about the great debate going on now, whether rabbis are permitted to speak politics from the pulpit, you understand? I'm fully in favor of rabbis speaking politics from the public if it's the right politics, you understand?
What do you mean the right?
Not what the rabbi of the Ramban Shul said. That's the one that's not right politics. Okay, that's enough, I don't want to mention names, all right? Okay.
Besser Nish.
What?
Besser Nish. Better than you don't.
Are you're telling me that I'm right? I love it. I love it. I love it. Say it again. You know, I think he's a little tipsy today. He became a great grandfather, you understand? And then one of our friends that go back even before West Hampstead, he's Toronto. He's Toronto. I have a whole bunch of lives. The important thing that happens over here is God says, it's over. It's finished. Begate weiter. We're going ahead. Lech alei mizeh, go up from here. Take that people that you took out of the land of Egypt. They're mine. They're like the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I told them I'm going to give the land to them. They will inherit the land as well. Rashi. Lech alei mizeh. Right below is the Rashi. Eretz Yisrael gevura mikol ha'aratzot. Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all the lands. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the lands. That's why it says, Lech alei mizeh. That's why it says, alei mizeh. Go up from here. That's one pshat in Rashi. Now, this is the one that I'm interested in. We'll see the second one in a moment. You should know the term going up out of the land of Egypt has been used 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 times from the beginning of Shmos till now. Why does Rashi stop over here? God at the snare tells Moshe, I'm going to take the children of Israel up out of Egypt. So you have to understand, Rashi was Rashi. Rashi took a look at this pasuk, and he saw that this pasuk is different than every other time in all of Sefer Shemot where this appears. Because here it says twice, Aleh. Aleh could mean taking up out of Egypt, but it can't mean that in this pasuk, because the extension of the pasuk, Ha'am asher he'aleita me'eretz Mitzrayim, the people who you took up out of the land of Egypt, that's what he said in the pasuk. So when it says Lech Aleh, and remember, it says Lech Aleh mizeh, from here, which means from here, we are already not bringing them up out of Egypt. From here, what we are doing is we're taking them up to Eretz Yisrael. And why is the term Aleh used with regard to Eretz Yisrael? Because Eretz Yisrael gevoah mikol haratzot. Rashi says the second pshat, Dovaracha another pshat, Klape shomalo b'shat maisa, in distinction to what God told Moshe at the time of the sin of the eagle, he told him, Lech reid, go down. So now he tells him, Lech aleh. He had told him, Lech reid. So, and there Rashi said, go down. Rashi quotes the Gemara that says, go down from your greatness. You're only great because of Israel. But now that they've sinned, go down from your greatness. God is now telling him, it's all over. Everything's forgiven. Lech aleh mizeh, you go up. Now, Rashi gets messages across in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways in which he pushes a point home is by repetitions, by repetitions. So here, I'm going to take you back to a pasuk in Parshat Vayigash. Second line over there, Maharuva Lualavi. In Parshat Vayigash, Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers. Ani Yosef. I am Yosef. And he says to the brothers, Maharu Hari Va'alu El Avi, and go up to my father. Maharu Va'alu El Avi. And there's the Rashi, it's underlined. Va'alu El Avi, and go up to my father. Eretz Yisrael Gevoa Mikol Haratzot. Rashi already said it in Parshat Vayigash. Because Yosef could have simply said, Maharu Elavi, hurry to my father. That would be even be quicker than saying, Maharu Va'alu Elavi, hurry and go up to my father. Instinctively, Yosef says, Maharu Va'alu Elavi. So Rashi says, Eretz Yisrael Gavoa Mikol Haratzot. But that's not the whole story. That is not the whole story. 45 years ago, maybe more, my wife and I were on our way to a wedding in Pittsburgh, from West Hempstead, going to Pittsburgh. It was Parshat Vayigash. And my wife was learning Parshat HaShavua on the plane. She wasn't watching silly movies. So she comes to this Rashi in Vayigash. And she says to me, wait a minute, something's wrong over here. at the beginning of the Seder Vayigash, Yehuda had said to Yosef, who he doesn't know is Yosef, how can I go up to my father? Eich el elovi, how will I go up to my father and the child isn't with me? You told us bring him down. So the term up and down has already been used. Why didn't Rashi stop there and tell us Eretz Yisrael before me, kol haaretzot? Better question, the first time it appears in Torah, in Lech Lecha, Avram arrives in Eretz Yisrael, Vayihirov Boretz, there was a famine in the land, Vayeded Avram Mitzrayma, Avram went down to Egypt. And then Avram came up. The moment it said Vayeded Avram Mitzrayma, Avram went down to Egypt, Rashi should have said, Eretz Yisrael, Gevor, Mikol Aratzot, Eretz Yisrael is higher than all lands, and therefore traveling to it is Yerida, traveling to it is Aliyah. And for that matter, I counted about 20, more than 20 places where Aliyah and Yeridah were used before this pasuk in Vayigash, which is toward the end of Sefer Bereshit. Where does Rashi wait? You know, there are a number of places in Chumash where Rashi waits. You know what he waits for? He waits for the pasuk where it's going to be more significant than any other. Can you imagine? Yosef HaTzadik, who is the greatest success story of the ancient world. He was the only Yored in the family. And he's not driving a cab in Cairo. He has become the ruler, the master of the land. And when it comes instinctively out of his mouth, Maharuva alu elavi, you know what it is? Yosef would trade it all in order to be in Eretz Yisrael. Gemara says about him that Yosef was ohev Eretz Yisrael. That's why he tells his children, Pokod yifkod elikim etchem, God is going to remember you. Remember, take up my bones from here and bury them in Eretz Yisrael. What does Moshe do at the beginning of Parashat B'Shalach? He takes the bones of Yosef. Rashi is waiting for the moment where it's so significant. Michael Zoveid. Cain? Zoveid. The camera is working. Rashi waits for the most significant place where he can say it. So he says it in Vayigash. He says it again here because he wants you to notice that there is an alei meaning coming up out of Egypt, and there's another alei that means going up to Eretz Yisrael. Third, Dvarim. Yes. What? Say that again? How do I know that?
That the word Nizeh, instead of being translated as here, go up from here, it's from this, go up from this whole area of the sword.
That's very nice. That's very nice. You can use it in a sermon if you don't talk politics. Lech alei mizeh, from this whole tragic period of history that we've just gone through, Chet Hegel. That's fine. You must have had a good rabbi in West Hampstead. No, just because. No, no, no. I can't hear.
Malin
Bekodesh. Okay, okay. Yeah. Okay, I haven't dealt with what it really means, Eretz Yisrael Gevor Mikol Haaretzot. There's a great deal written about that. But all right. I'm falling desperately, terribly behind. It's very bad. Number three, in Parashat Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu retells the story of the spies. And it says, where it's underlined, Vayikhu biyodam mipri haaretz, they took in their hands from the fruit of the land, Vayoridu eleinu, and brought it down to us. Vayoshivu otanu davar, and they brought back word. Vayomru, and they said, Tova haaretz asher Hashem Elokeinu notein lanu, the land that God gives us is good. The land that God gives us is good. Rashi underlined, Vayoridu eleinu, and brought it down to us. Magid sheretz Yisrael gavora mikol haaretzot. Here it is, the third time. And so Rashi over here is faced with a real difficulty. The difficulty is, if you take a long look at the pasuk, they took the fruits in their hand and vayoridu eleinu. Down. We don't know what's down. And they said, the land is very good. Wait a minute. The ones who brought the fruit were the Meraglim. The ones who said that the land is good were Yoshua and Kalev. How do you have all of this in one sentence? Vayikhu biyodam mipri haaretz. They took in their hands the fruit of the land. That's the Meraglim. Vayoridu eleinu. English says, and brought it down. Vayoshivu otanu davar, and they brought back word. Vayomru, this is already Yoshua and Kalev. Tova haaretz asher Hashem Elokeinu notein lanu. The land that God gives us is good. So Rashi says, in order to explain to us that there are two parts to this pasuk, Rashi says, Vayoridu eleinu. To understand what Rashi is saying, I'll tell you what the Ibn Ezra says. The Ibn Ezra says, why does it say Vayoridu? Something came down. It says, Ulai, maybe me go vahaetz. They had to go on a climb up a tall tree and bring the fruit down. Or Vayoridu eleinu means they brought it from the Negev down to Mitzrayim is Yerida. Rashi does not accept any one of the two. To tell me that it says Vayoridu eleinu, when does Torah ever say these seemingly insignificant thing, if you're bringing fruit, it means you have to go up on the tree. Does the Torah have to tell us they brought a ladder, put the ladder up against a tree, and they walked up the ladder? And when they came up the ladder, they cut it down. The Torah just tells us the facts. And if it means that they brought the fruit from the Negev down to Mitzrayim, it should have said, what does it say? It should have said, Vayerdu, they came down to us. You know what Rashi is telling us, Vayoridu eleinu? He is describing the Meraglim. They cast down Eretz Yisrael. They shamed Eretz Yisrael. They pulled it down before our very eyes. Vayoridu eleinu, Eretz Yisrael is gevorah mikol haratzot, and that's what they did. There, if the pasuk tells us what Yoshua and Kalev said, the pasuk has to tell us what did the Meraglim say. So Rashi says that's it. Vayoridu eleinu, that's what the Meraglim said. You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to repeat the terrible things that they said. So therefore he says Vayoridu. In Hebrew, I think it comes Haim Hishpilu Bizu et Haaretz. They shamed and brought down the land. The point that I want to make over here is the following. If last week's shiur was about Rashi's Ahavat Yisrael, this week's shiur is about Rashi's Ahavat Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, I took the liberty of doing something I haven't done in the past. The title for the shiur is down at the bottom of the page. Rashi would not be waiting in Passaic. Okay? We've had this few weeks in the in the family magazine. We've had these few weeks of started by a letter from a fella who's waiting in Passaic before he comes on Aliyah until we get our act together over here and put together a society and a community that's to his liking. And when we've taken care of it all, then this fellow who's waiting in Passaic is going to deign to come on Aliyah. And we should, of course, go out to the airport and just, he came from Passaic. So I want to say, I can prove Rashi would not be waiting in Passaic. Let's go further. We got a lot to say today. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know. Number four. I'm just a number of Rashis where Rashi shows his great love of Eretz Yisrael. This is in Parashat in Sefer Devarim. Shloshim ve'echad malachim. Efsos ha'kulam me'eretz Yisrael ha'yu. They're going to go in and conquer 31 kings. Yeshua's going to conquer 31 kings. There were 31 kings in Eretz Yisrael. There are 6.5 million prime ministers, but 31 kings? No such thing. Shloshim ve'echad malachim. Efsos ha'kulam me'eretz Yisrael ha'yu. Ela, Sarashi says, Ein l'cho kol melech v'shilton shalo konalo paltarin v'achuza b'eretz Yisrael. There wasn't a king who felt he was a real king unless he owned a piece of the rock that he purchased for himself, a palace or something in Eretz Yisrael. Shechashuva lekulam hi, for it is important to all of them. Oh, do we know how important it is to all of them? Shenema, as it says, Nachlat tzvi tzivot koyim, a possession coveted by the multitude of nations. Number five, Rashi tells us that Va'ad Har Sion hu Hermon, until Mount Sion, which is Hermon. Harei lo arba shemus, that place, the Hermon up there, has four names. It's called Sion. Watch. Loma hutzruchu, because they invited, they all need to be written in scriptures, lahagit shevach Eretz Yisrael, again, to tell the excellence of the land of Israel. Shehoyu arba malkios mitparot bekach, four different great kingdoms boasted, zuo medet. This one says it's going to be called in my name. That one says it's going to be called in my name. So I think he ends up with Sneer, Sion, Hermon. I'm missing one, but that's it. Number six, Lachuzat Olam. This is a pasuk in Lech Lecha. God says, I'm going to give it to you. In the schut of the mitzvah of Mila, I will give it to you for an inheritance. The shom echazelahem eheyelahem lulakim, I shall be a god to them. Aval hador bechutzlaretz, one who lives there, chutzlaretz, dome kimishen lo alakai, is like one who has no god. That's quite a shocking statement. But for our guests from chutzlaretz, if you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, you have the yearning and the longing, then you're okay. But if you're waiting a Passaic, okay, that's the refrain. Now here we come to the... Okay. Toronto gets only one once. All right. Here is a piece... I write from a family magazine. You can use your imagination. And this is really the substance of the shiur is supposed to be this. The following appeared, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Somehow the concept of Aliyah has gotten tangled up with the secular Zionist movement and its aims. The Zionist movement itself is to blame for that false conflation. Just like I don't know what conflation means, I don't know what he's talking about over here. All right? Watch. But in fact, the yearning for Eretz Yisrael is completely independent of Zionism, as is the basic concept of Aliyah, a term that was not coined by the Zionists, although they seem to have hijacked it. I tell you, I get sick reading it. I get sick. It's not good for my blood pressure. Ever since Jews were first exiled from their homeland, they have longed to dwell on its soil once again, no matter who was ruling the land. To a Jew, it's going to get worse. To a Jew, Eretz Yisrael remains Eretz Yisrael under Turkish rule, under British rule, and yes, even under Zionist rule. That means under Turkish and British rule, it's definitely Eretz Yisrael. You might think that under Zionist rule, it's not Eretz Yisrael. So the writer tells us, no, 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 you should know, even under Zionist rule, it's still Eretz. Boy, I was worried there for a moment. That was not easy to take. Now watch. Yeah. And any Jew who can arrange to live here under whatever regime is fulfilling a mitzvah by doing so. The mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz still applies even when Eretz Yisrael is under Zionist control. Okay? We'll read the next paragraph. Many of the greatest anti-Zionist gedolim of modern times, even in parentheses, to use the term today, anti-Zionist, about the gedoli Yisrael that he's going to mention, is absolute blasphemy. Anti-Zionist today is a billion dirty anti-Semites in the world. All right, but let's see what he says. Many of the greatest anti-Zionist gedolim of modern times, including the Chazon Ish, the Stipler, the Brisker Rav, the Imre Emes of Gur, the Baron of Belz, among others, averred, I like his from conflation to averred, that Eretz Yisrael and the State of Israel are two separate things, that no Zionist state can break a Jew's connection with Eretz Yisrael, and that Aliyah remains a mitzvah for anyone who can do it, regardless of who holds the reins of government here. I'll tell you a story. A story came to mind when I read this. I had heard it said by somebody who claims it was the last story that was said by Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal, Hashem Yinkom Damo, the author of the Eim Habonim Smecha. He wrote the Sefer in Budapest in 43, and it was printed there. He was on a early January of 45, he was on a train to Auschwitz from Budapest. And there was a Ukrainian guard who took a piece of bread from a Jew. And Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal said, "Give it back to him. Give it back." He couldn't take the injustice. Ukrainian guard with the butt of his gun beat him to death in the car. Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal was an anti-Zionist in the 20s and the 30s until he saw the tzaras of 41, 42, 43. He sat in a room in Budapest and he rethought his whole shita, and he decided we had made a terrible mistake. And this is the last story. He said, there was a town, a shtetl in Europe, and the shtetl had a vekker. You know what a vekker is? A vekker is a waker. They're pretty close. A waker, a vekker. The vekker would go around in the morning. Stay off, la'avedes habare. Get up, it's time for shul. See, in Nebuch, tragedy, the vekker died. And he left an almana with a number of children. Now, the city, the town, the shtetl, couldn't afford another vicar, couldn't pay another salary. So the almana said, I'll do the vicking. I'll go around and wake up. And in the cold and dark of night, she'd leave her children and she'd go from house to house, banging on the window, Shteya Flavidus Habeche. Every little shtetl in Europe had to have an oiswurf, a mechal Shabbos, an eichel treifes. And she didn't know which doors to knock on and which not to knock on. So one day she knocked on the door of the city, the town, the shtetl. Eiswurf. That doesn't need translation. Anyway, he hears this, so he jumps out of bed and he goes and he sees this woman over there. He says, what are you doing? She says, I'm the vicar. And she told him that, well, you know, my husband died and I need to support my children. So I'm waking everybody up. So this Eichel Treifes, you understand, says to her, no, you have children. Stay at home with your children. I'll do the waking up. I'll do it for you. The next morning, Eichel Treifes, Michal Shabbos, Niederträchtige Brie, starts going around, waking everybody up. Somebody sort of got wind of it. Him waking me up? I'm going to go because he wakes me up. Not on your life. And it started going through town, you understand. He's the vicar? Give me a break. I'm not going to dumb because of him. Reb Yisocha Teichtal said, you know what? Frumme Yidden didn't want to go because they didn't like the vicar. The secular Zionists were the vicars. They came back. They built. They created the framework within which we can live here. But they didn't like the vicar. That was a tragedy. And they still don't like the vicar. Everything that was said in these two paragraphs is such a pack of lies. It's all lies. What does he say over here? Why did they want to come to Eretz Yisrael together, these secular Zionists? Only because it's God's given land to us, you understand? What about that? And what's he say? The concept of Aliyah, a term that was not coined by the Zionists. Yeah, but what did we do about it? We waited in the Shtetlach, just like they're waiting the Pesach today. And most important is the Halacha. And that's what I want to take you through, but I'm going to tell you in advance where I'm going to. The Ramban, who enunciates clearly the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, says that the mitzvah has two parts to it. One is not to leave the land in the hands of others. That means conquest of the land, taking possession. And the second aspect of the mitzvah is to build it, to plant, to plow. Who did both of those aspects of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? We did it or they did it? The ones who really fulfilled the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael were the Zionists. He got it all wrong. He got it all wrong. And they made it possible for all of us to be here and live here. Gratitude, he doesn't even realize they don't exist. Furthermore, when he refers to all these Gedolei Yisrael as anti-Zionists, I want to make one clear statement. There isn't a single solitary individual on the face of this earth who can say with absolute certainty what the Chazon Ish would say today. What the Ger Rebbe would say today. What Rabbi Aaron of Belz would say today. What the Steipler would say today. They think that an expression of Das Torah is eternal. No such thing. It depends on time, circumstance, situation, what's happening. Maybe the Chazon Ish would take a look around and say, hundreds of thousands of yeshiva brachim, an army that is one of the most powerful in the world, an economy that's booming. This is obviously Yad Hashem. This, I am a Zionist. Who can say what the, who can say what any one of the Gedolei Yisrael would say today? But no, no. Frozen in time. Anti-Zionist one. You're an anti-Zionist forever. Until they cover you up. You understand? No, no, no. History is not static. History is dynamic. Things happen. Things change. Things evolve. Here, everything is a revolution. It takes place quicker here than any other place on the face of this earth. So all of this, I just feel bad for the tens of thousands of people who read this and are going to walk away with thinking that this is genuine Hashkafas HaTorah, the only authorized Hashkafas HaTorah. It's nonsense. It's complete nonsense. Yes. The mitzvah of Yisharitz applies even if it's under Zionist control. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Mazocha Omri Lomalchus. Omri, if I can't describe to you what a Rasha he was, king of Israel, he was the father of Achav and the father-in-law of Izevel. That tells you what he was. And the Gemara asks, why was Omri Zocha Lomalchus? Why did he achieve position of king of Israel, because he added one city to Eretz Israel. He built a city in Eretz Israel. Shomron, how do you like that? What about people who have built many cities in Eretz Israel? They built all of Eretz Israel. What's the guy talking about? Why did he give me this frumish shtick that's nonsense? It's worse than nonsense. It's false. So that's the thrust of it all. In the entire exchange that took place in this family magazine, I didn't see one person talking even about the mitzvah. They're talking about whether you can live here or you can't live here. What's the standard of living like? Is it here? Is it there? Mitzvah? Are mitzvahs supposed to be easy? Or do mitzvahs require that you put in effort and energy? They'll come flying in. They're the guys. These are the guys that upset me. They're going to come flying in for Lagbaima, for Rashbi, Rav Shimon ben Yochai's yard site, you understand? And they'll get back in time for Shabbos, Mincha, Erev Shabbos in Shul. I was by Rashbi today. Rashbi was turning over in his grave when they were there. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the first time he's quoted in Shas, in Masechet Brachos, he says there are three great gifts that God gave to the Jewish people. V'chulam lo nitnu el al yedei yisurim, and all of them were given only through suffering, through pain. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, v'olam haba. Can you imagine somebody saying to the Rebbein Shem, you know what? Elam Haba is a good zach. Lenin Taida is a best zach. But you know, keep your matanis, you understand? but they have absolutely no difficulty in saying, Eretz Yisrael, Matana, no, Zion is control, and there's no mitzvah, there's this, there's that. I'm waiting in Passaic. It's unbelievable. I just thought about it this morning. I don't know why, but I'm driving in, and there's a disc in my, what do you call it, a disc player in the car? I still yearn and long for tapes. Okay, anyway. All right, so here it is. Here it is. It's at Shlomo Kalbach about the Soviet Jewry. I'm telling you, I was wiped out. I think our present generation doesn't even know what a struggle, the struggle for Soviet Jewry was. What an awesome struggle. But I mentioned it in my book, and that's what came to my mind as I'm listening to Shlomo Kalbach singing. I had been in Yerushalayim. The whole story of how I got to Russia and what I did at the post office in West Hempstead. I needed to get, I was living in Eretz already, but I went back to West Hempstead to the post office to get a passport because I had to come with a passport that had nothing stamped Eretz Yisrael in it. They throw me out immediately. I needed a new passport, but I'm not a liar. I'm not a good liar. So here's this man who's in the post office, one of our Afro-American friends, and he asked me, Rabbi, why do you need a new passport? So I could have said, I lost my passport. I don't know what happened there. I'm looking alone. I couldn't do it. It's bad. It's very, very bad. So I told him that I have to go to Russia, and I need a passport without Israel in it. I need a passport. So he says to me, Rabbi, I want to tell you something. After 35 years in the post office, today is my last day. And before 5 o'clock today, you're going to have a new passport. Call that Hashgacha Pratis for you. But that's not the story that I wanted to say. I just like that story. I had been I've been working in a school with American girls, and you know we had a Shabbaton, and after the Shabbaton I went to Russia, and the following Friday night, freezing Russia, we come to the home of Slava and Mark Shifrin, and there must have been some, I don't know, 50, 60 young people crowded into that apartment. The davening and the Suda took close to 6 hours. We davened Mincha and Kabbalah Shabbos word by word together. And then during the Suda, they started singing a song, a Kalbach song, that the girls in Yerushalayim, the American girls in Yerushalayim, had sung the Friday night before. And I was struck by the awesome difference. Uvo ha'odim eretz Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. The Friday night in Yerushalayim, the American girls, they jazzed it up. Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. The Friday night in Moscow, I saw 60 young people crying. You saw the tears coming down. There was a yearning and a longing for Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't happen in Passaic. What happened to it? What happened to it? For heaven's sake, what happened to it? Are the schools good for me? The apartments are good. The heating, you know. Was? Drinken a cup of mitzvahs and mitzvahs schooler connected. Call our mitzvahs and they're sitting around over there. I don't think Pesach really deserves to get all of the, you know, we can throw in, Mansi. I don't want to mention, I don't want to say, Baruch Bach, they'll call me a Haredi basher. I don't want to be that, though. No, I'm not going to do that. Here, number nine, this is the Ramban that I told you about. The fourth mitzvah that the Rambam forgot to count is, and that's awesome, the terrible thing, but that's where he wrote it, that as though the Rambam forgot the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Believe me, there is so much literature about this, but we're not going to go into that now. That we are commanded to take possession of the land. Who took possession of the land? In our time, who took possession of the land? The anti-Zionists? The mitzvah is to take possession of the land that God, may he be exalted, gave to our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we must not leave it in the hands of any other nation, nor may we let it remain desolate. That's the second part. Not enough simply to take possession of the land, but there's a mitzvah to plow and plant and harvest and build homes. Those are the two aspects of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, according to the Ramban, which is accepted by everybody. They did it. If we are able to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael because of what the Zionists did. Let's go. Here, if you want to, you can take them home so you'll be able to read it for yourself, but this is a beautiful piece by Rabbi Yeruchim Yehuda Leib Perlman. At the bottom I write that these are excerpts from A Drop in the Ocean by Moshe Lichtman. Rabbi Yeruchim Yehuda Leib Perlman, better known as the Gadol of Minsk, writes that the Rambam did not indeed write the mitzvah. The Ramban says that the Rambam forgot the mitzvah. So he says, no, the Rambam didn't forget the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It seems to me that it is possible to say that even the Rambam maintains that dwelling in the land is a biblical commandment, but it was not stated explicitly, only implicitly. That is to say, we find that from the very beginning, for the first time, the Exalted One revealed himself to the rock of his quarry, that's Avram. From the very first statement that God makes to Avram, Lech lecha mi'aretzcha u'miladcha, to the land, that was the first statement. And chose him and us, his descendants, to be his treasured nation. He immediately designated a place, and that's the first thing, go forth from your land, to the land that I will show you. Never did God speak to Avram Avinu, all of Hashem, and failed to mention the land. Do you hear what he says? Never did he speak to Avram and fail to mention the land. Never did God, the same is true of Yitzhak and Yaakov. Moreover, he explicitly prohibited Yitzhak from leaving it. The land is mentioned in practically every parasha and mitzvah of the Torah. And this, in my opinion, is Chazal's underlying intention when they say, dwelling in Eretz Yisrael is equal to all the mitzvahs. Chazal say, shkula, mitzvahs, yeshivas, Eretz Yisrael, keneged, kol ha-mitzvahs. It's equal to all of the mitzvahs. So he's saying it means because all of the mitzvahs of Torah are permeated with the air of Eretz Yisrael. He never failed, he is God, never failed to glorify, endear, and exalt the land using numerous terms of endearment. He called it a land that the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, and his special people through whom the Spirit of God called it the cherished land, the holy land, the desirable land, the land of the living, the fairest of sights, perfection of beauty, Hashem's inheritance. All of this demonstrates clearly that the good Lord wants us, his worthy nation, to choose and establish this holy and chosen land as our dwelling place. where it's underlined further down, it is incumbent upon us, like obedient children, to try our best to fulfill his desire and avoid as much as possible defying his will. Now, what he's saying is that there are certain things that God doesn't have to say clearly, thou shalt live in Eretz Yisrael. The idea of Eretz Yisrael is so much a part of Torah, so much a part of the Ribono Shel Olam. As a child should be able to anticipate what his father or his mother's will is, it's so easy for us to clearly realize that the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to be in Eretz Yisrael. I always tell the story. Yeah, I'm going to tell another story. This hotshot multimillionaire dude in Chutz La'aretz, you understand, calls up Reb Shlomo Zalman. Auerbach says, Rebbe, I want to discuss something with you. Okay. Shlomo Zalman tells me you can come. So anyway, this guy, now I of course embellish it. This story doesn't have to be exactly, but the gist of it is here, no question. Anyway, for months he'd been studying with a Chavrusa, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Is it a mitzvah? Is it an aveira? Is it a dechaisa? Is it a rabbanon? Is it a mitzvah chiyum? Is it a chiyum? He's full with all of this Torah. And then he makes it into Ben-Gurion Airport. A stretch limousine is waiting for him. Takes him to Shari Chesed. The poor limousine can't get in to Reb Shlomo Zalman's little street. Okay, understand. And then when he finally gets to Reb Shlomo Zalman's house, he takes a look at the steps that you have to walk up all the way to get. I never knew how Reb Shlomo Zalman did it, but a whole bunch of steps going over there. All right, he comes huffing and puffing into, okay. So he starts pouring out, I have a shayla. The Rambam says like this, the Rambam says like this, and the Ritva says, Shlomo Zalman patiently listens, and then he interrupts in his very edler way. He was a edler, brilliant. Es ist nicht wichtig. It's not important. Es ist nicht wichtig. Not important. Poor guy is devastated. He's been learning for months, and it's nicht wichtig. But he lets it go. And he keeps pouring out all of his Torah, and Reb Moshe Reis, and Reb Chaim, and the second time, it's nicht wichtig. Any good Litvische story, it has to happen three times before you get to the point. So he keeps going. Finally, Shlomo Zalman says, it's nicht wichtig. Rosh Hashiva, what does Rosh Hashiva mean, it's nicht wichtig? Says, all the Yishayim and Achrayim and everything, just open up a Chumash, go read through all of Chumash, and you know what you're going to find out? That Ritzon Hashem's God will is that he wants Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing else is important. Nothing else is important. It's all of Torah. It's God's will. This is the land that he loves. This is the land that Eini Hashem Alekechaba. I don't know if the guy ever came on Aliyah. I don't know. I don't know if he got the car out of, or it's still stuck over there in Shari Chesed. You know what? Do we have a I'm going to take just one last page. This is on the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer was one of the great Peskim of Yerushalayim. He was born here in 1915. I think he was Nifter in 2006, 5, 6. Reb Eliezer Waldenberg, 22 volumes of tshuva, or tshuva's tzitz called Tzitz Eliezer. Just what's underlined over there. That the obligation and mitzvah to ascend to Eretz Yisrael and dwell therein was not marred at all by the establishment of the state and the attainment of sovereignty over a specific and significant part of its area. On the contrary, this mitzvah has become even more esteemed, and every Jew living abroad has an additional, more imperative obligation now to fulfill it. And he says that there are And what's further on, there are two obligations. There's a collective obligation. There's an obligation of Klal Yisrael to be an Eretz Yisrael. Then there's an obligation of each and every individual. A collective obligation incumbent upon the Jewish people as one to come and settle in the land, become a holy nation in its midst. And there's a personal obligation incumbent upon every Jew. Down the very bottom, very fast few lines. And then he says, recently, however, Hashem remembered us for the good to give us a name and a remnant in his holy land to be sovereign there. He inspired the United Nations like he did to Cyrus in ancient times to return to us part of our stolen land. And the gates of the land are open wide day and night with no restrictions or limitations, not to be closed to any Jew, all of whom are received with open arms and with a joyous spirit. So he says, now certainly there's an obligation to come. So the point is, we went from Rashi's Ahavas Yisrael to Rashi's Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, and we only updated it. And at the same time, we've told you that things that you read in Jewish magazines may be severely injurious to your spiritual health. You know, it may be plain lies, not true at all. You know, I've had it. I love it.
He would have stayed in Europe and ended up in the hospital.